It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Ohio and Virginia are both nicknamed the home of presidents. From Mount Vernon to Monticello, presidential homes are great places to visit and learn about history. With President's Day a little over a week away, travel contributor Elaine LaBaume, who tweets about food and travel under the Twitter handle New Girl in Town, is here with suggestions of presidential residents you might want to visit. Elaine, welcome. How are you?
A little bit chilly, but hanging in there.
Okay, New Girl. You are taking us to presidential homes ahead of President's Day. Are you trying to get us excited about the 2016 elections?
Not exactly. I think there's plenty of chatter going on about that. You know, what's neat about visiting presidential homes is that you really get to see a different side of our leaders. I mean, even if you go to Washington, D.C. in the halls of power, it's, you know, Congress, you know, the Capitol, Supreme Court, what have you, that's sort of a very sort of official view, much more serious, sober. You go to their homes, and in some cases, these are their childhood homes or homes they bought, you know, right before their presidency or retired to after their presidency. And it gives you a sense of the person, that softer side, what mattered to them. You know, these were family people. They faced a lot of the same issues that you and I face. So it's a perspective that you don't often get. And a number of these homes are managed by the National Park Service. So that, you know, they're well restored, well maintained, you know, many possessions and artifacts of these individuals. So it's a really interesting look into their lives, and I recommend it.
One of the things that might concern somebody about this is that much in the way that the stories behind the presidents are sanitized for our American consumption, less so today than years ago.
Right.
You know, some of the things that you might hear today about President Kennedy's personal story,
right,
or the fact that years ago, Franklin Roosevelt, who usually was in a wheelchair when he moved around,
right,
was never shown in the wheelchair.
Exactly.
So dovetailing off of that example, when you go to these homes, I mean, is there a sanitized version they're presenting? For example, if somebody used certain substances that, you know, controlled substances that people might not want to necessarily have those presidents associated with, is that all cleaned up and pulled off the tables when you get in there?
Well, you know, I'd say you're certainly getting the nice version. I think what happens or what people should do in a situation like this, and I do this often before I travel, is I try to get a bit of historical perspective on the place I'm going to. Because if not, you just land in a city or in a historic home and you're just looking at a building with, you know, beautiful chairs and a nice painting and whatnot. And you don't know the backstory. I think that people owe it to themselves before they travel to have a bit more information. So you go online or, you know, you read a book. I mean, these days there is so much information online that a quick Google search will turn up a lot of information, not only about the homes of these presidents, but about the actual individual. I mean, when I was actually doing a little extra research before I came on the air today, I learned things I didn't know about these presidents, and I've been to these homes. So, you know, there's always more you can know, and it just makes for a richer experience when you get there, if you know a little bit more about the backstory of, you know, FDR or George Washington or whoever it is. You really need that perspective, because if not, you're just looking at another pretty house.
All right. So your Fab Five list has some amazing places on it, several fairly close to home. First up is James Buchanan's Wheatland in Lancaster, PA.
Yeah. And, you know, I got to tell you, I just love that name. I think that's the best.
Wheatland.
I don't know that there's a whole lot of wheat around Wheatland, but it's a terrific name.
But this is Amish country, right?
Well, it is. Right, you know, in Lancaster. He was actually born in Mercersburg, close by, PA native. He was our 15th president. It was president from 1856 to 60, so right before Abraham Lincoln. He did his level best to keep the Union together. It didn't turn out so well for him. He purchased Wheatland in 1848, and he returned there after his presidency in 1861. It is a beautiful home. So many of these presidential homes are absolutely, you know, stunning properties. It's a federal style house on 22 acres. Large, 17 rooms. The neat thing about visiting Wheatland is that many of the items there did actually belong to Buchanan. So it's not one of those things where those cases where items, you know, representative of the period were added in to enhance a tour, what have you. These were actually his things.
And he's actually the only president from Pennsylvania, correct?
Whoa, not sure. But I do know he's the only president who was never married. But I don't know if he's the only one from PA.
The only one who was never married.
Apparently.
A bachelor president. It's almost unheard of today. All right. Well, Due West is the James A. Garfield National Historic Site in Mentor, Ohio, not far from Cleveland. And Ohio's got all kinds of presidents that they've produced.
Ohio and Virginia, I guess the home of presidents. But this is one that's very easy for us Pittsburghers to get to because it's just due northeast of Cleveland. Garfield was the 20th president of the United States. He took office in 1881 after nine terms in the U.S. House, and he actually had the second shortest presidency. He was only president for 200 days. He was actually felled by an assassin's bullet, I think about 6-7 months into his presidency, and he survived for 2 months after that. And it was ultimately, you know, some medical care that he could have received better medical care, but they didn't have the technology and really the knowledge at the time. So he ultimately succumbed via heart attack, but he became quite ill. So that was really sort of a sad thing. But he was a neat guy, you know, Union general. This particular home is somewhat more modest, I think, probably in keeping with what he was about. Had this rambling front porch, and he would go out on his front porch and, you know, talk to supporters and whatnot. There's an 18-minute film in the visitor center that you should see to start to get a little bit more perspective on him. And once a month, you can take a behind-the-scenes tour of his home. So you get to go up to, you know, these rickety stairs up to the third floor, you know, down to the basement and whatnot. And you get a really neat perspective doing that, too.
Not quite a presidential home, but well within 6 degrees is Robert Todd Lincoln's Hilldene in Manchester, Vermont.
Yes, and this is an absolutely beautiful part of the country. Hilldene was considered the Lincoln family home, as it were. Robert Todd Lincoln, he and his mother visited a famous resort, actually the Equinox, which we've talked about in Manchester when he was young, and you know, decades later he returned there to purchase his own home. He was a Secretary of War. He was an ambassador and a successful lawyer and businessman in his own right. He was ultimately chairman of the Pullman Company, train car company. And actually on the property of Hilldene is a fabulous old Pullman car for any train aficionados. But he was the only Lincoln child to live to adulthood. And he purchased this home and many generations of – or I guess at least some generations of, you know, Lincoln heirs live there after the fact. It is a fabulous property, 24 rooms, 8 bathrooms, 8 fireplaces. One neat feature that people always talk about is the pipe organ in the entrance hall, an Aeolian organ with 1,000 pipes in the entrance hall.
Wow.
Mind you. Yeah, it's quite a piece. You have formal gardens, and it's still in some ways – and you could call it a working farm, although in a state like this, I don't know if we really want to refer to it as a farm, but there are animals and herb gardens and whatnot. You could spend half a day just roaming around that property. It's absolutely beautiful.
Mount Vernon has to be on any list of presidential homes, right?
Oh, gosh. I just love Mount Vernon. I've been there several times, most recently when we went to Alexandria, Virginia last summer. We actually biked to Mount Vernon, which is a pretty easy bike ride, only about an hour, uphill on the way up, downhill on the way down. So you gotta consider that. But, sprawling grounds. Most everyone has seen a photo of Mount Vernon. You know, beautiful white brick structure, the red trim, very neat. Lots of different outbuildings on the property where they have animals and whatnot. He and Martha are buried on the grounds. The orientation center at Mount Vernon has been completely redone, and it's phenomenal. It's got a great almost 30-minute film to start that gives you a very good grounding on George Washington, you know, from his days as a gentleman farmer on to general and president and whatnot. His father actually was the one who purchased the home in 1735, and George Washington moved back somewhat reluctantly after his brother, passed away, and then he sort of took over managing the you know, the family's estate and whatnot. So this is one that, you know, in terms of presidential tours, presidential stops, you can't miss. It's very close to D.C., so you two for one.
Last but certainly not least is the home of Franklin Delano Roosevelt in Hyde Park, New York.
Yeah, this is definitely not just a home. This certainly is an estate. It is a gorgeous property. Known as Springwood, on the banks of the Hudson River. He was born there. It was his lifelong home, and he is buried there. His father purchased the home in 1866, Italianate, sort of federal style home. His dad remodeled it, and then many years later, his mother and FDR remodeled it, and they kept adding and expanding to the house. So it's just this huge property at this point. Much as the case with Buchanan, many of his personal effects are still there, paintings, collections that the president had and whatnot, along with the formal gardens. And they are both buried right near a sundial in the Rose Garden. It's a terrific visit.
Sounds like it. And Elaine LeBaum with ideas of what to do, where to visit the home of presidents on President's Day. Elaine is our travel correspondent. Thanks, as always, for being here. Thank you for listening to Essentials Pittsburgh. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.